Our last speaker, Rabbi Moshe Lehrfeld, really needs no introduction, especially in South Florida, and especially in this room. He spends hours and hours learning here, 365 days a year. He never goes for the yeshiva calendar. He doesn't get it. He doesn't stop Bein Hazmanim. He doesn't stop for Hanukkah break. He doesn't stop on Chol HaMoed. He learns day and night. In between paragraphs of Rishonim, he does a little bit of law. He's become one of the most celebrated attorneys for Dreamberg Traurig. And if you ever see him in his office at home, it's literally Bein Hashuras that he's become the best attorney. Ramosha wears many hats. He's the vice president of our board of directors for decades. He's been a friend of the yeshiva throughout. And as even Moshe would say, he's the spouse of his dear Rebbetzin, Jennifer Lehrfeld, who has herself spent hours and hours on the details, or I should say the headaches of the final finishings. She's probably going to get me in trouble for saying that. But the hat I'm sure he prefers to wear today is that of the son of Rabbi David Lehrfeld, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, our beloved Rav in our community. One of the founders, founding members, founding board members of our yeshiva, whose hashpa has trickled into our community, his sweetness, his shalom, his Torah, his legacy being continued by the dedication of the Kesser David Mizrachvant, as we see. I think that's the hat that Rav Moshe would prefer to wear today. And I give the bracha that the legacy, the memory, the ashpa of Rabbi Lehrfeld Zatzal should continue to be showered upon our yeshiva and Bnei Yeshiva for many years to come. Without any further ado, Rabbi Moshe Lehrfeld.
Thank you, Rabbi Palgon. You kind of stole half my speech, but that's okay. Oh, Hernan, good to see you. Brishus, Imi Morasi. All the Rosh Yeshivas, Rosh Kolel, Chashuv Rabbanim, Board of Directors, V'chol Kol HaKadosh Hazeh. As Rabbi Palgon mentioned, I'm really speaking here in a dual capacity. On the one hand, I'm speaking as an officer of the yeshiva, as a proud parent of the yeshiva, but I'm also speaking on behalf of the Heller and Lehrfeld families in dedication of the Kesser David Mizrachvant that we're celebrating today. It's kind of hard to wrap my head around this, that this project has finally come to fruition. We started this project over 5 years ago. I forgot the exact details. Esti Kapel was reminding me, she got a grant together with my daughter Nechama, And it brought the idea to my father. Moshe Bernstein keeps telling me it was my father's idea, his dream to renovate this beautiful Beis Medrash. We had a kickoff event. It was a concert that my son gave 5 years ago. And we started the project. And in our wildest dreams, I could not, looking at this beautiful room now, all around, we couldn't imagine that would have come out like this. There's an expression we say at a bris, Zeh katan gadol yiyeh. Zeh katan gadol yiyeh. This little baby should be a gadol. What does it mean to be a gadol? There's a yesod from the Gra, and the Gra says that if you want to know what a word means, look in the Chumash. The very first time that the word is mentioned in the Chumash, that's the taich of the word. Where do we find the word gadol the first time in the Chumash? Hamara gadol, the sun. What does it mean the sun is the maor, the great luminary? It's not the biggest. We know, Chazal know, scientists are now first starting to figure it out, but we knew, Chazal know, that there are billions, trillions of stars, most of them that are even bigger than the sun. So what does it mean, Hamara gadol? So the pshat in the gadol, a gadol is something that gives chiyus, that gives life, that encourages life, that encourages growth, both in a physical way, in a spiritual way, in a mental way. That's what a gadol is. If you look at all of our gadolim are still alive. When we learn in Gemara, we learn in yeshiva, We always say, Abaye says, Rava says, Taisa says, Rashi says, they're still here, they're still with us. That's what gadolim are. So that's what we're giving a bracha to a child, that the child should grow up not to be a giver, but to be a taker, to make a mark on the world, to help people out. I remember my Rebbe, Rabbi Groner Tzatzal, my Rebbe for probably 4 or 5 years, going back 50 years ago, back when the city was a midbar. He used to always joke and he used to say, you know, by little children, the whole world, the whole year revolves around one day. What's that day? My birthday. As a child grows older, he starts to look and care about others and to empathize with others. Like it says by Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayigdal, he grew up, Vayetze Elacha Vayar Basivlosam. That's the mark of a gadol. The other thing about a gadol, the famous story, my uncle, my Rosh Yeshiva, my mentor, Rav Eichenstein, used to always say over a maaser from the Chafetz Chaim. Somebody once came to the Chafetz Chaim to get haskama for a sefer, and the uncharacteristically, the Chafetz Chaim did not give the haskama. And they said to the Chafetz Chaim, I don't understand, this person is so big, he does this, does that. So the Chafetz Chaim says, let's say somebody's born, a normal person, but he's got a giant arm or a giant leg. You don't say he's got a big leg, he's a cripple. Something's not in place. The mark of a gadol, the mark of a great person, is everything fits in perfectly. Everything has its place, and everything fits in perfectly. All the facets make a perfect diamond, make a perfect person, a perfect gadol. I can really say that our father was the quintessential gadol in all respects. When it comes to being a husband, there was no husband like my father. Father, grandfather, great-grandfather, there was nobody like my father. You talk to all the children in my family and they'll tell you, it was an inside joke, that whenever my father would play with the children, it wasn't just playing, he would get down on the floor and play with them. And if you ask any of my children and grandchildren, they'll tell you the reason why. My father always said, because you can't fall off the floor. You're safe being on the floor. That's what my father did. My father was the most amazing Rebbe, the most amazing teacher, the most amazing friend. At least a half a dozen people came to me tonight and said, you know, there was never such an orator like your father, a speaker like your father. Unlike me, you knew how to keep it short and simple and sweet. And it didn't come easy. My father worked hard. My father came to Miami, I don't know, 70 years ago, whatever it was. It was a midbar. There weren't too many B'nai Torah. There weren't too many Orthodox rabbis. He took over a shul that did not have a mechitza, and he immediately put on a mechitza, and he only took over the shul on the condition that there should be no microphone. There was a big problem, though. The shul was a massive shul, probably bigger than this room even. So, and my father wanted to make a Kiddush Hashem, so he took voice lessons. So he had a voice coach, a voice teacher, and the teacher said, he had a great idea. He says, you live on South Beach, Miami Beach, or a few blocks from the ocean. So this is what my father would do. He goes out on a Friday night, Leil Shabbos, to prepare his drush, and he goes to the ocean. And he's yelling at the ocean. He's projecting his voice, pretending that it's a few. We used to have 1,000 people every Shabbos. He would project his voice, and he's yelling at the ocean, and he's getting carried away, and he's, if you know my father, he was always walking back and forth, and you know, with the hands and the feet, and next thing you know, he gets a tap on his shoulder, like I just got about an hour ago. It's pretty interesting. He gets a tap on his shoulder from a policeman. The policeman said, can I have your identification? Like, who are you? And it was Shabbos. He couldn't carry. He didn't have anything with him. Long story short, they put him in handcuffs, put him in the back of the car, took him to the station, and put him in the crazy house. The good news was that, like most people that I ever come across, the chief of police was one of my father's alumni. He had given a get to the chief of police. And the chief of police recognized him right away and let him out. Obviously, they couldn't drive him back, but the walk wasn't too bad, and he walked back home, and of course, on the walk back, he was able to practice his speech a little bit more. Every single person in this room, and it's funny, since my father was Nifter, like, hardly a day goes by that I don't get a call from somebody that's got some kind of a story to talk about my father, some kind of an aspect, some facet where my father made their life better. 2 weeks ago, I was coming back from visiting my children in Lakewood. I was waiting in line at the airport, and I guess two Jewish people in front of me, you see a guy with a yarmulke and a beard, so they call it bageling. So of course, we start talking, and within 30 seconds, oh, your father, Rabbi Lehrfeld, gave me a get, and he was so kind about it, so nice about it. I get so many calls, dozens and dozens of calls from people, and they all ask me the same question. They say, since your father was Nifter, who's doing Gittin in South Florida or in this part of the world? So I give them the names of several people who are doing Gittin. Of course, it's twice the price, half the service. And everyone says to me, no, 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 no. I know they could write a get. Anybody could write a get. But who's going to talk to the husband who doesn't want to give the get? Who's going to go to the jail, to the prisons, and convince the husband to give a get? Who's going to convince the wife who doesn't want to get a get? That was a certain talent that my father had that nobody else has. And chaval de avdin, because I don't see anybody taking over that role very, very quickly. That was my father, well-rounded. And I think it's so apropos, and I think that's why my father was so drawn to this yeshiva, because what this yeshiva does is we create, we make, we help children reach their goals to be well-rounded, to be B'nai Torah, and most importantly, to have wonderful midos. I remember, I don't know, 25 years ago, very, very long time ago. So there was a Rebbe in the yeshiva, and he was davening in my father's shul, Mincha Maariv, and my father always spoke between Mincha Maariv, he was Makbid Gomer, that there should be enough time between Mincha Maariv, so that shouldn't be a Tarti Desasri. And this Rebbe got up and walked out. So my father called me afterwards and he says, I guarantee you that particular Rebbe was not a Talmud of Rav Henoch. He did not learn in the Chafetz Chaim system. And my father was right. He was the one Rebbe who did not learn in the Chafetz Chaim system. It was not here. A while back, I had the honor, I was attending a Sheva Brachos from Ronnie Cohen's grandson. Ronnie Cohen is here today, he's one of the founders of our yeshiva. I'm not sure we would be here today if not for Ronnie. Thank you, Ronnie. So Ronnie introduced me. I never want to argue or correct Ronnie, but I did this time. Ronnie introduced me and he said, you know, Moshe Learfield is the son of Harav Learfield, who was one of the builders of South Florida. I said, Ronnie, no. He wasn't one of the builders. He was the builder. I remember how many years ago, Torah Emes was founded in my living room by my father and Harav Mordechai Shapiro Zatzal. When Torah Chaim first, or Torah Emes first, there's so many stories, so many nisim and nifloas, I can't even begin to talk about it. Max Rothenberg was so involved. He got my father involved. And my father literally was the one who brought, Torah Emes, first Torah Emes, then Torah Chaim to North Miami Beach, which was the anchor of our community. It really made our community. Another mark of a Gadol, and this I think was the most unique thing about my father, Zatzal, was that a gadol never stops growing. People used to say about Rav Aaron Cutler, if you saw Rav Aaron Cutler and then you went away and you came back a month later, it was not the same Rav Aaron Cutler. He was a different gadol. He grew. He was always growing. My father, even though he reached incredible heights at very young ages, but he never stopped growing. He never stopped steiging. Towards the end of his life, he said to me that, because he grew up in yeshivas, he never really focused too much on kachim, taharis, and he took it upon himself to start learning zvachim, menachas. And I get a call one night. I think it was 11:30, 11:45, which it's pretty early for me. And my father had a certain, he calls me up, says, like he always does, the first thing he does is he apologizes for bothering me, for imposing on me. And he had this tone of his voice. I only heard it a few times previously, and it's usually when he had fallen or gotten hurt or something catastrophic happened. And he calls him and says, Moshe, and there was a pain in his voice. And I said, oh my God, like my heart stopped. And he says, Moshe, you have to come over. This Tosfos is killing me. Had a kasha and a Tosfos, and he knew that I have a lot of svarim in my house, a lot of cheat svarim, secret of my success. He says, bring over all your svarim on whatever masechta it was, and chaste Hashem, it was a ritva, asked a kasha, and he was happy, he was able to go to sleep. These are just some of the few things that I wanted to point out. Lastly, before I finish, another mark of a gadol is nicely ba'olim chavero, empathy, feeling for somebody. I remember once visiting my father, it was in the morning, and it was very unusual. Usually my father's like learning an entire morning, and I came to the house and he was lying down. are you, what's wrong? Are you okay? He said to me that somebody had just come into his office, a younger man from Eretz Yisrael, who decided that he can't make a parnasa in Eretz Yisrael, and he was going to move down to South Florida, and he was getting some kind of a job as a mashgiach or a teacher. And my father was saying to me, and of course he came to my father to help him out, and my father was saying, like, I don't know how this person, what's this person thinking? How's he going to support himself? And of course, the whole thing fell on my father's shoulders. And he was so depressed. He was so depressed, he actually had to lie down. In conclusion, I thank everybody for coming. I have to thank, like I said earlier, I'm here in dual capacity. We have to thank many people on behalf of the yeshiva, but the yeshivas have already done that. On a personal level, there's a few people that I have to thank. First of all, my mother. She lived to 120. Obviously, my father would always say, you never missed an opportunity to say it. My mother, the quintessential, the ultimate Eish Yischayil. I'm asking everybody here as a favor. If my mother volunteers to make you shaver brachas or to drive you, as President Reagan's wife said, just say no. My wife told me last night she just agreed to make two giant shaver brachas a week apart. I want to thank my wife, Matt Palagon mentioned, but the hours that she has put in the last month are just mind-boggling. I have to thank Rabbi Chait, who got us involved in this whole thing, Max Rothenberg, all the Rosh Yeshivas. I have to thank Moshe Bernstein. I remember like it was yesterday. Years ago, we were thinking about, you know, should we hire a CEO or whatever title he had at the time. And we were interviewing him, and Rosh Yeshivas, and pardon me, I'm asking Mechila, but this is what happened. The Rosh Yeshivas were very, very nervous because how could we hire a CEO who's not a Rosh Yeshiva? I said, if he's a Rosh Yeshiva, why would he be a CEO? I mean, you can't get any better. He's a Muslim from yeshiva. He learned in yeshiva. And I said to them, my famous words, I said, he is our LeBron. The problem was, it was a room full of blank stares. Rabbi Lubin said, who's LeBron? I said, there was this guy, LeBron, when he was 17 years old, he signed a contract for $90 million with Nike because they saw what he was going to be. Now, I'm not saying him, well, he's good, not good. I could care less. I don't like the guy. I don't follow him. Could care less. But Moshe Bernstein, I said back then, he is our LeBron. He's young, but he is going to take us where we need to go. He has his eye on the ball, always on the ball, and he is our visionary, and he is taking us to where we have to go, and we should keep going. Michael Ochayel. This beautiful building, this beautiful moisset is just the beginning. You should see what we're doing on the other campus. It's unbelievable. Achron Chaviv, the person I have to thank the most. Our shutef in this dedication, Harav, Dr. Daniel Heller, my son-in-law. Dr. Heller is a brilliant, brilliant physician. He's very humble. In fact, a lot of the protocols that we do today for COVID were invented by Daniel for my father. All the things we're doing today with the, I don't even know what they call them, monocloque, whatever they are, he invented it for my father. He literally kept my father alive for, the doctor said, I remember my father first got sick. I remember when it happened, actually. My father went to Beis Yaakov, he gave his shiur, he never missed a shiur in Beis Yaakov. He came back and he looked really, really not so good. His face was all blown up. He had fallen. We called Hatzolit. They took him right away to the hospital, and then never really completely recovered. But Daniel took care of him with such dedication. He would do shifts for 36 hours, and then you're supposed to go home and take a nap for 12 hours. He would come home, take a shower, go right back to the hospital. I remember Daniel kept on saying that, he was working around the clock for COVID. It was like exhausting physically, emotionally. And he kept saying, like, he's looking forward. He's having I think it was an important birthday coming up. He was either going to be 30, 35, 40. I don't remember. Probably 40. And he said, I'm taking this day off. I'm going to a beach. I'm not telling anybody which beach. I'm not taking my phone. I'm taking a Corona. That's a kind of a beer. I'm taking a Corona. I'm going to the beach, and I'm not telling anybody. I'm taking the day off. The night before his birthday, my father had a very, very severe setback. And I called Daniel. I said, Daniel, I know you've been planning this hush of birthday for the last 6 months, but it's not happening. You're going to be spending all day tomorrow in the emergency room again. And he did it b'simcha gadol. So again, thank you, Daniel. I can never thank you enough. And again, on behalf of the Heller Learfield families, thank you all for coming and be mishtatef in this incredible simcha, and the schus of my father should give the real shatet desmaya to the Beis Medrash. We should continue in his legacy. We should see nachas from all of our children, all of our talmidim. Ksiva chasim etoiva. Thank you very much.